verse 12, Psalm 33 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." We live in a nation that has been truly one of the most blessed nations in the world. We've seen some great things come about in our country through the years, but we are fast turning away from what has made America great. We have those who are trying to deny our heritage here in our country. We have those who are trying to say that it's not so, when the evidence is overwhelming. And America has become the great nation that she is because of her allegiance to God. And so tonight we're going to show you a DVD. It was produced by Dr. Chuck Harding, and that is his web address is Awake Americans, awakeamericans.org, awakeamericans.org. And you can go there and find out information about it. But it's called America's Forgotten History, Our Biblical Constitution. So we'll get started here. Hope you will, your heart will be blessed as we go through this DVD.
At the beginning of time, God knew that one day a country of the West would rise and become one of the greatest nations in the history of the world. That this nation would rise to prominence because it decided to base itself assuredly on the Word of God. On July 4, 1776, our founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, throwing off the tyranny of Great Britain and claiming their freedoms. Knowing they could not fight this great empire on their own, but needed the mercies of heaven to guide them, protect them, and help them, they implored the throne of God daily and begged for his power, and in the end, were proudly able to stand victorious on the field of battle. As they faced the next task of creating their union, they knew the only way for them to survive and prosper as a nation was to base their newborn country upon the principles and precepts of God's Word.
It has been said that the pen is mightier than the sword. I would like to just talk to you for a few minutes about a very unique piece of paper. My name is Chuck Harding with Awake America, and I would like to speak to you about our Constitution, the Constitution of the United States of America.
Housed in the National Archives Building in Washington, D.C., lies one of the most unique documents in the world. It is the most important legal document in the history of America. It is our roadmap, our blueprint by which our government is to be operated. It is a formula for national success that, if any nation followed, would produce a biblical standard of government and thereby liberty and great prosperity. It is a document based on the Bible and has, thus far in our history, not granted but guaranteed us our way of life and has made us the most unique and blessed nation in the world.
The Constitution guarantees our liberties. It does not grant our liberties. Our liberties are given to us by God. Thomas Jefferson said that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
This is one of the ways how the Holy Scripture was involved in the forming of our nation, government, and constitution. Coming from that basic trifold premise of our war for independence. Life. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Isaac Backus, a leading preacher of the pulpit of the American Revolution, in a sermon in 1773, stated that true liberty of a man is to know, obey, and enjoy his Creator, and to do all the good unto, and enjoy all the happiness with, and in his fellow creatures that he is capable of. Pursuit of happiness. Ecclesiastes 3:13 says, "And also that every man should eat and drink, and enjoy the good of all his labor, It is the gift of God. Ecclesiastes 5:19 says, Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God.
So we clearly receive our rights from God. That is why there is a movement to eradicate God out of the national consciousness, taking him out of the pledge of our flag, taking him off of our money, taking him out of our history. Because if the government can persuade the national populace that they're the ones that give us the rights, and they can take those rights back away from us.
Liberals and revisionist historians are trying to hide how the preaching of God's word during this time was the key element that created the spirit of independence. Men like Isaac Backus, Jonathan Mayhew, John Leland, and others would strongly stand behind their pulpits and boldly preach the word of God, kindling the revival fires of freedom and liberty.
These principles, these precepts were birthed in the hearts of our founding fathers by preachers preaching God's word all the way up and down the Eastern Shoreboard.
Jonathan Mayhew is credited for the coining of the phrase, no taxation without representation. During the Stamp Act, he urged the necessity of colonial union to secure colonial liberties. His preaching was greatly heard and was famous for introducing the ideas of the cause of liberty and the right and duty to resist tyranny. His sermons and writings were a powerful influence of the movement for liberty and independence. John Leland was one of the most influential Baptist preachers and champions of religious liberty. As our new nation was formed, he was highly concerned with the preservation of our freedoms. He was able to meet with James Madison to discuss Madison's candidacy for Virginia delegate to the convention to ratify our Constitution. At that meeting, Leland expressed the importance of religious freedom and individual rights based on the Bible. Madison promised Leland, if he was elected, he would do all in his power to see these freedoms incorporated into the Constitution by amendment. True to his word, Madison drafted and introduced 12 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. God's men intensely fought for freedom and debated the points of liberty in Independence Hall and Continental Congress. Their preaching was responsible for setting aflame the hearts of the American people for independence and freedom.
Unashamedly, with great courage, preached against the tyranny of Great Britain and told their parishioners that they were on the side of what was right, of what was biblical, and of God Himself. They instilled in our early forefathers a courage because of faith and showed them that they had the right to walk out on the field of battle and defend their homes biblically.
In early 1776, a 29-year-old minister gave a sermon in Woodstock, Virginia, in which he called upon the men of his congregation to join him in fighting for our nation's independence. Referring to the book of Ecclesiastes, Pastor Muhlenberg said, There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time for war and a time for peace. Contending that the time for war had arrived, Pastor Muhlenberg then concluded his sermon by casting off his clerical robes to reveal the uniform of a Continental Army officer. He went on to serve as a general in the Continental Army. Following him into battle were several hundred men from his congregation. Some of the most outstanding preacher patriots besides Muhlenberg were David Jones and John Gano, both of whom were fundamental Baptists. David Jones was greatly trusted by Washington and was appointed chaplain in Colonel St. Clair's regiment and was at the Battle of Ticonderoga. He also served under General Gates and General Anthony Wayne. He preached repentance and independence among the troops to encourage their hearts, but he also was a fierce fighter on the battlefield. At the Battle of Brandywine, as he rode in the midst of the fighting, his horse was shot out from under him. Jumping to his feet, he continued to shoot at the enemy. And then when his ammunition would not fire, he flung his pistol in the face of the advancing troops. He miraculously survived without injury, and then continued on serving at Valley Forge, and to the end of the war, at Yorktown. John Gano pastored in New York City, and unknown to him, Washington would sit outside the window of his Baptist church and listen to his preaching. Impressed with his passion and testimony, Washington chose him as his personal chaplain. Oftentimes, Gano would be found working among the wounded to assure their eternal destiny, but many times, he would be also found at the front lines sharing the soldiers' perils, and eagerly pushing forward with them. General Washington said that Baptist chaplains like Gano were the most prominent and useful in the Army. When the war was finally over, George Washington asked John Gano to give the final prayer of thanksgiving. Men of God stood shoulder to shoulder with our founding fathers, involved with politics, with the ratification of our Constitution, and courageously fought with them on the field of battle. Without question, the preaching and leadership of God's men were hailed throughout the colonies as the spark which ignited victory and patriotism.
Some may envision our founding fathers as rash and rowdy rebels. Not so. These men, already settled in character and reputation, could have led lives of ease had they been willing to kowtow to the King of England. But they said, not so. We're going to say no to tyranny, and our king is going to be King Jesus. Our common enemy is going to be the tyranny of mankind, and our thought is going to be the common welfare of our fellow citizens. We are going to fight this war for independence. We are going to live as free men. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death.
American preachers were responsible for providing the conviction and wisdom necessary for winning a war against the cruelty of an unjust government. Soon these heroic men became referred to by the British as the Black Regiment.
This Black Regiment was so called because these men wearing the black vesture of men of the cloth back in our early histories would ascend to their pulpits every day and preach and instill into our founding fathers the sacred fire of the war for independence, knowing that they were fighting against tyranny.
Loyalist Peter Oliver of the colonies complained that they were invariably at the heart of revolutionary disturbances. Without the tenacious and courageous leadership exhibited by the preachers of the Black Regiment, it is doubtful whether American independence could have ever been achieved. The preaching of the Bible was the fuel that kept America marching forward.
The fact that the war for independence was founded upon life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness shows that it was born of God. God birthed within the founding fathers' hearts these precepts, these principles, showing them that they were about to give this world a government based upon the entirety of the Word of God. We must understand, we do not receive these rights from our government. Our government was instituted to secure these rights, to guarantee these rights granted by God. Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. That is the role of government. To say it is the government that gives us our rights and not God is not only biblically incorrect, it is unconstitutional.
So what exactly is the Constitution? It is the document setting the principles on which our government is formed and conducted. The process of creating a constitution begins with a voluntary association of men in sufficient numbers to form a political community. The first step to be taken for their own security and happiness is to agree on the terms on which they are to be united and to act. They form a plan of government suited to their character, their needs, and their future prospects. They agree that it will be the supreme rule of obligation among them, thus laying the foundation of the nation's safety, permanency, and happiness. We, the people, have the greatest example of human invention, sound political principles, and judicious combinations in our Constitution of the United States.
Our Constitution is deemed to approach as near to perfection as any document ever formulated, because it was based upon the Bible and written from a very unique background, a background of sacrifice, of service, of sacred prayer. Take a trip with me back into time now, to 1783.
After our founding fathers declared independence and fought for 8 years and 6 months, they won that independence against insurmountable odds.
After 12 years, it wasn't working. You see, there were 13 different colonies and actually 13 different countries, 13 different currencies, 13 different foreign policies, 13 different tariffs, and our founding fathers were invited back to the same place where they had come together to ascribe to the Declaration of Independence to see if they could form a more perfect union. They met for 5.5 weeks. They debated. And they could agree on absolutely nothing. You see, 50% of the people lived in 3 states, and 50% of the people lived in 10 states, and there was no way around it. 5 states said, we don't want to abolish slavery. 8 states said, we didn't fight for freedom to have slavery, and there was an impasse. Along with other delegates, George Mason, George Washington's good friend and neighbor, got up and walked out. George, being a humble man, walked with him and said, please don't leave. We have things to do. We have a nation to form. But George Mason, along with many other people, said, we have better things to do than to argue. It was in the midst of these great difficulties that Dr. Ben Franklin, one of 6 of the 56 signers of the Declaration that had made it back to sign the Constitution, elderly, in his 80s, ill, he rose to speak and delivered the following address.
Mr. President, the small progress we have made after 4 or 5 weeks is proof of the imperfection of human understanding. We have gone back to ancient history for models of government and examined the different forms which now no longer exist. We have viewed the modern states all around Europe, but find none of their constitutions suitable to our circumstances. In this situation, groping in the dark to find political truth, have we not once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection.
Think about what he said. In the beginning, in Independence Hall, in Philadelphia, he had been there in 1776, almost a decade earlier. He had been there when their backs were up against the wall. One of 6 men that came back to try to form the Constitution. And they had declared independence from Great Britain. They had prayed for God's grace. Ben went on to say,
our prayers were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of superintending providence in our favor. And have we now forgotten this powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. And I also believe, without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. I therefore beg leave to move that, henceforth, prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings upon our deliberation be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business.
And with that, they recessed. And most people don't realize that many of the delegates walked across the street and for the next 3 days and 3 nights prayed and fasted. We convened, and every day for the next 5 weeks prayed and asked God for his guidance and his wisdom in the formulation of our Constitution.
Every government has changed since that time, but our Constitution has been available as a template and continues to be the apex in human government because it is based upon the Bible, article by article. And every year, we set a new record. Our founders said, let us recognize from where our wisdom comes, setting a precedent of prayer before each assembly.
Therefore, Congress has never met in the history of the United States without going to prayer. That means every time Congress has met, even if it has meant for 5 minutes, they have gone to prayer.
They said, we shall put on our money. It is in God whom is our trust. That is the motto of this country, because we recognize as a nation that our dependency is on him. George Washington said, it is impossible to govern without God and the Bible.
Our Constitution is the most miraculous of all governmental documents because it has given us, the United States of America, all the opportunities, all the abundance, and all the liberties that we share.
Yet, most Americans do not even know who the penman of our Constitution was. Most presume that Thomas Jefferson was its penman, since he eloquently wrote the Declaration of Independence. But that is not so. The man who penned the Constitution spoke more than any other delegate during the Constitutional Convention, 173 times. He spoke the most about how God and His Word played a foundational role in the establishing of our nation. His name was Governor Morris.
Why do you think this man is unknown to Americans? Because we have been robbed of our national heritage, our history, by revisionist historians who took Governor Morris out of our textbooks, our history, over 80 years ago.
Morris was quoted as saying statements like, "Americans need never fear their government because of the advantage of being armed, which the Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation." And, "This magistrate is not the king, the people are the king, knowing that we the people are the government, and elected representatives are our servants." And, "Religion is the solid basis of good morals. Therefore, education should teach the precepts of religion and the duties of man toward God."
If we are to bring glory to God as Christians, and if we are to live honorable lives as Americans, we must participate in the government in which God has entrusted to us as stewards. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 13 through 16, it says,
"Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God."
But how can we be stewards of the third God-given institution of government unless we participate? And how can we participate unless we know the basic laws and liberties that are set forth in our Constitution? It is our duty to be informed, to be involved, and to be an intercessory prayer for our country. But we cannot be involved, and we do not know what to pray about unless we are first informed, unless we understand how unique we are as a people, as a very happy people called Americans.
John Adams said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. This is why we must be the standard of our nation, our government's conscience directed by the principles and precepts of Jehovah God."
Yes, it is a critical hour in which we find ourselves in our history. But I want to say this: God makes the brightest lights for the darkest nights. But to shine, we must know the truth. And the truth is, first of all and foremost, the Bible. And secondly, the truth as an American is our Constitution. We must know what those truths are so that we can shine as beacons in a very dark time in our nation's history. So we can continue to see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ go forward. So we continue to have the liberties and the foundations to see churches built and families shored up under the precepts of God's Word.
George Washington said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports."
I want to give you a challenge. I want to challenge you that today you get a copy of the Constitution of the United States. That people have died on battlefields all over this world in order to preserve. And read it. And not just read it, but ingrain its principles into your mind and your heart so that you can provide the standard of what it is to be an American. We as Christians memorize God's Word because it is truth. We as Americans also must put to memory those precepts and principles based upon the Bible that we can find in that most very precious document we call the Constitution.
when this recent Congress convened, one of the things they did is, first time in the history of our country, they read the Constitution. And what was surprising was there were several of our legislators who looked at it as a big joke. We're living in a time when we need to get back to the Constitution, but mainly we need to get back to the Word of God and back to solid Bible preaching and holding up the Word of God and establishing our nation on the principles of God's Word again. It's a time that we live in that many are turning away from the Bible. We push the Bibles out of our schools. We push the Bible out of public places. We push the Lord out of our country. And the Bible says, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. But the Bible also says that the nations that forget God shall be cast into hell. So we're in for some troubling times unless we come back to our roots in this country and determined to see revival and a turning back to the truths of God's Word. So I challenge you to stand up for what's right. Write your legislators. Let them know where you stand. And stand up for the Word of God. And be a true, red-blooded American who honors God and stands for the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you tonight for the opportunity to see this DVD. We thank you for Dr. Harding and what he is doing and Wake America. Pray that our country would wake up and that we would be able to see the need that we have to turn back to you. Not just go on our merry way and let these things pass, but as our forefathers stood, may we stand and may we determine to be all that you want us to be in these last days and not allow these things to take place. We thank you for your word to guide us. We pray for those who might be here tonight who are not sure that they're saved. Help them to get it settled, to realize that the Scripture is true and the Bible teaches that without Jesus Christ we have no hope of eternal life. We have no way to escape the penalty of our sin, headed for a devil's hell for all eternity. But through Jesus Christ, we can find escape. We thank you so much for it. And we pray tonight that you'd work on hearts and bring the lost to Christ and help us as believers to realize that we can't sit by and just let our country go down the drain, but we need to stand for the truth of thy word. We thank you and love you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.